me, and just a privilege to be able to have Pastor Jamie here with us this morning to be able to preach to us, and I'm just thrilled about the way the Lord's using him, and it's just so quickly folded him and his family to be a part of our church family. And so go easy on him this morning, amen? All right, if you just help me, just this is his first time preaching at Spokane Baptist Church, just help me welcome Pastor Jamie as he comes and preaches here.
I'm already packed up in case this goes bad, okay? So good morning, church. Sorry. Let me get set up here for a second. Really kind words there, Josh. Thank you so much for that intro as well. I really appreciate it. You guys, this church has been such a blessing to me and my whole family as well. You guys have invited us in so warmly, and we love you. You know, we love being here, so we're very thankful for you guys as well. So I appreciate, everything that you guys are doing. One more. Okay. I told you, I'm ready to go. Baggage, that's what we're looking at this morning. It gets real tiring having to carry baggage around with us, right? Carrying this stuff every single day, you've only got a certain amount of arms, right? So you can only do so much. We all have baggage in some form. This morning, my hope is that we'll be able to manage and handle our baggage the right way. What is the right way? We'll find out. Okay. Well, we've already said it, but Vacation Bible School is around the corner, right? Woo. Tomorrow. And vacations are nice. They sound good, right? I kind of want one of those. Who likes to go on vacations? I like to go on vacations. I like a nice little break. Yeah. I know you do. It's fine. But we're going to try that again so I feel like you actually understand what I'm saying. Who likes to go on vacations? There you go. Okay, I had to say this to Tom Shinsky earlier. I'm English. That means you might not understand what I'm saying because I say things differently, right? Three rules then. If I get too passionate, which I usually do when I'm preaching the Bible, and I start speaking like this, and I really want to go, what is it? Stick up your hand and be like, slow down. We don't understand. And I will try my best, okay? Second rule is, if you don't understand a word that I say, a translation that I say, my wife, Rachel, is up on the balcony. She will gladly tell you what it means after the service, okay? And third thing is, and I'm glad a couple of people already told me, they forgot fruit. They forgot to throw fruit. You know, it's good, isn't it? They left it in the fridge or they left it at home. I was going to say, please keep that to a minimum, okay? So... But vacations are great. Vacations are great for rest. They're great for time just to be with your family, right? Put everything on the sides. But I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, I'm an organized packer, right? I like to be organized when I pack. This is the bag I took down to California as my side bag. In this bag, I had all of my essentials. I had my headphones, phone charger, spare set of clothes in case the airline lost my other bags, right? You got to be on this, because if you don't, then you're kind of in a tough situation. So all my essentials go into that bag. Passport, flight details, everything like that. I like to be prepared with that one. But then you have this bag, which is like the chaos bag. This is the bag that you shove everything into, and you kind of get to the point, you're like, why doesn't it zip anymore? You kind of have to sit on it and you have to kind of wrestle with it a little bit to zip it up. Like, we've all been there. We've all done that, right? Not just me. Okay, perfect. But you think, I like to be in control of my baggage, the one that people are going to see. I'll pack a little book in there. So I'll take it out on the airplane and be like, I'm reading a book. I'm intelligent. I can read a book. But this one is like the chaos bag. This is the bag that I hope and pray no one but me opens, because it is going to be a mess. It is going to be stuff that I'm like last minute throwing in. I need these shoes. Do I need them? Chuck them in. How many ties do I need? Like 12? Okay, chuck them in. And it's just going to be a mess. There's going to be no order. I like to be in control, but really, we can't really control our baggage, right? We can't really, because our life is kind of like that. I got an amen. I got an amen. I'm happy with that. Got one. In England, you don't amen. In England, you don't. You go, So if I see people nodding, then I'm like, oh, they're getting it. They're getting this message. But I got an amen. Happy. Okay. On a roll. Happy with that. This idea that our control baggage is what people see, but really, this is kind of like our life, right? We shove stuff in there, we pile it in, we try and keep control of it. We wrestle it, we lay down and try and zip it up, and we try and keep it in. And sometimes you use those bungees inside to try and keep it all separate. It's just crazy in there. We all have baggage. It's hard to hear, because that's like saying, hey, we're all broken. We're all damaged. We've all got something wrong. I don't have something wrong. I'm great. We all have something wrong. We all have something. Even if it's carry-on sized compared to under the plane size, we all have something wrong. We all have some baggage. And it's hard because actually, it might be obvious sometimes. That person has a weight on their shoulders. They are carrying something. And we may not know what it is. We may not know what that burden is. We may not know what that weight is, but Jesus knows. And sometimes that's really refreshing. Sometimes that's just as hard. Because, man, Jesus knows that I've done something wrong and I've got stuff going on in my life that, I've got baggage and burdens and problems. And you're like, Jesus knows. Jesus gets it. What Jesus is all about is taking it away from us. So I'm going to be honest with you. I, your youth pastor, Jamie McSevney, has baggage. I know. I do. I have problems. I have sin that I have tried my very, very best to paint over, to cover up, to sweep under the rug. I have issues. I have baggage. Jesus knows. But I'm going to be more honest. I get anxiety attacks. When stuff gets overwhelming, when I feel like I'm getting pulled under, I just head straight to that bed, head under the pillow, and I sleep that thing off for a good 14 hours. But it's like crippling anxiety attacks. I get upset when I think about my past, when people try and bring up, hey, what was it like when you grew up? And I've got my funny stories that I love to make people laugh with, and I love to use as examples of how not to live. But then when you get to the real stuff, man, I don't like talking about that stuff. That stuff makes me feel uneasy. That stuff makes me feel unsettled. I've made this comfortable life here. Why would I want to revisit that again? Ugh. Baggage. I have dad issues. Due to my past. My mom has been married 4 times. That means there's been 3 divorces. I have dad issues. Jesus knows. Now you know. The hard thing about that is I do my best to walk into a room and be like, I will not be that broken person. I will be the person who has it all under control. I will be controlled. I will be organized. I will be happy. And it will be great. And people will not know anything else about it. But really, I'm on that side, right? Some baggage may be smaller than others, but we all have it, right? That's the gist here. Today is not about admitting we have baggage because it's just true, right? But it's about how we handle it, right? Who handles it more so? We are sinful. It's true. We have a sinful nature. Baggage is a result of that. Baggage is a result of that sinful nature coming out and acting and being present, and then suddenly, boom, baggage. So it's not about admitting. It is about, however, how we can hand that over and what God has put in place for us to do that, to help do with that. Because that's what God wants us to be able to do. He doesn't want this idea of us lugging baggage around with us every single place we go. What did God die for? What did his blood do? Freedom, right? That's pretty much it. So, where's the clicker? Let's see if this goes. So we're going to look at why we hang on to our baggage so tightly. Right? Why do we cling on to it? Yeah, no, I've got it. I can carry it on. I can scan through it. I'll open it up for you so you can have a look in, but just don't touch it. Okay? You know, I love that rule in the airports now, by the way. Oh, I can't unzip that for you. You have to, because there might be something dangerous in there. But how true is that of our lives? Like, you don't want to open that thing up because something's going to be in there that you're not ready for. You know, we're all hiding something. We've all got baggage somewhere. Small or big, we have something. Where am I aiming for this? Does that work? There you go. Okay, so why hold on to it? Fear. Fear's a big thing. Fear can hold us hostage, right? When you are so scared of what everyone will do in response to what you have hidden inside. You guys don't know what's inside of me, and I'm super scared that you may find out because I may be told to leave. I may be kicked out. I may be disqualified. I may be looked at in a different way. Fear. Crippling. Shame. But I can't tell you what's going on in my life, because if I'm 100% honest with you, then you may judge me. I'm ashamed of what I did. I'm ashamed of who I was. I'm ashamed of where I've come from. I don't want to tell you that, because you may think less of who I am. And I've worked hard to cover that up. Shame. Pride. My ego. I've worked hard to get to this position. I've worked hard to get to the top. I've worked hard to be who I am. Why would I want that to get tarnished? Why would I want my pride to take a hit? Pride, hanging on to it, because I just don't want you to. It's fine. And then this one, your own personal reasons. Why you cling on to that baggage? Maybe you were hurt. Maybe it was really bad. Maybe you're the person who did the hurting. And again, maybe it was really bad. Maybe the truth is just too hard to speak, because when you bring it up, I don't want to revisit that again. Those memories are too bad. That part of my life was horrible. I hate it. Your own personal reasons, whatever it is. Fill in the blank. Why we hold on to that so tight? Baggage. It can do a lot more harm than good. Think about having to carry all of this baggage around with you every single day, wherever you went. Think about it. It might seem manageable. You know, if I can I can grab this guy and I can stick it on my back, that's fine. Okay, I can do that one. That one's easy. That one's real easy. Boom. Oh, that bit of baggage, not a problem. And then this guy, yeah, that's fine. He can go over the shoulder. That's all right. That's good. I need to kind of keep him balanced, though, because he'll flip around. That's good. Yeah, I can do this. This is manageable, people. I am managing my baggage. Woo! I'm in charge. Jamie is in control. But it's kind of like they all stand for different things, right? The one I need the most strength for, this guy right back here, it's probably like my anger and my frustrations and my shame and kind of what Josh has been talking about in the previous series, that being content through all these things. all those sins that we have to kind of combat against. Pride, fear, lust, anything like that, right on the back. I can handle that. This side bag, this is my youth pastor bag. This is what I wear everywhere I go. Wednesday nights, Friday nights, Sunday mornings, wherever I go, I have this bag. It is my identity. It is who I am. It is my self-worth. It is what I stand for. My bag. I can handle that. This guy is like my deceit, my secrets, my selfishness. I can handle it. I got it. I'm all over it. All over it, people. Three bags, three ways of carrying it. Woo! Then there's that guy. The biggest one. The biggest one. It's like my sin bag, right? There you go, click. This is the one which I pack all my bad into, all the ugly stuff, all the stuff that I don't want anyone else to see. It's the big one. This is the one I don't even want to pick up. This is the biggest burden of all of them. This is the one that weighs me down the most. Because I did it. Because it's me that did it. This is the one, if anyone else in the world opened, you'd see how much of a sinner I am. And you'd see how much I need Jesus. Right? Yeah. Is that going to work? There we go. There you go. So, this list of baggage is obviously longer. You know, the list goes on. That's what it says right at the bottom there. It could be anything. But the idea is the same. We can only hang on to our baggage until our strength fails. I'm only going to be able to do this for so long. And I've got that guy. So I'm not even doing it all right now. This is easy. With that guy, it's not. But just think about that. When your strength fails, who's going to pick that up? When your strength fails, when your body starts to fail you, that you cannot lift these heavy bags anymore, who is going to pick up your baggage? Who are you passing that on to? Do I want to pass my baggage on to my sons? No. Do I want to pass my anger, my secrets, my deceit, my everything on to my sons? No. I love my sons. I don't want that. I don't want to wish them those heavy burdens. Thankfully, we have someone that we can pass that on to. Right? When we focus on these things, we can kind of see why we cling so tightly. Because it's kind of embarrassing after a while. Yeah, I'm a 31-year-old man, and I still take every single one of those and so much more. It's like a daily thing for me, you know? We're all sinners. We've all done wrong. We've all missed the mark. We have all fallen short. We know this. Reason why Jesus is so incredible. The issue is, if we live like that, like we are sinners with no way out of darkness, like heavy burdens on our back carrying our baggage, then we are completely forgetting the fact that Jesus has already dealt with this. That Jesus has already taken this baggage away from us. So why cling on to it, people? I'm going to kind of need a little bit more of an amen for that. So, but why do you, seriously, why? When Jesus has dealt with it, why do we cling on to it? That's it. That's the question. Why grip so tightly? Why white knuckle that bag whilst Jesus is saying, I've got it, buddy. Just hand it over. No, you can't have it. I'm too ashamed. My pride. Everything inside me as a human being. I don't want you to see that, Jesus, because then you'll see how weak I am or how messed up I am. Jesus already dealt with it. Come back to the simple truth before. Jesus already knows how weak we are. So that's the kind of simple thing there. But when we focus on this, on the cross, we see Jesus dealt with it. Not 10%, not 15%, 100%. Not, but what about tomorrow? No, done. What about next week? Done. Dealt with. It's that simple, people. So, when we focus on this, we lose focus of the cross. We focus on how broken Jamie is, how bad he is at life because he keeps on messing up and, oh, hey, I am not worthy, I am not worthy, I am not worthy, because I'm not looking at the cross. Yeah, I'm truly not worthy, but I know someone who is and who I should be looking at every single day. So when we focus on this, we forget about the cross. Should be looking at the cross. It's that simple. We must focus on the cross. I daily need to focus on the cross. We must remember Calvary and what happened there. Think of the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross. Think of your sin being died for. Paid. Done. In full. Baggage taken away. It is finished. It is dealt with. It is freeing. When we focus on Christ, we don't think about sin. We think about Jesus Christ conquering sin, defeating sin, Satan, and death, and rising again. So again, focus on the cross. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That is freeing passage if I have ever read it before. A covenant between the Lord and the house of Israel, a promise, I'm not going to remember these things tomorrow. When we're done, when you shake my hand, when this covenant is done, it's been dealt with. Baggage taken away. Why are you remembering it when I don't? I guess you know that's, hey Jamie, why are you lingering on those things from a couple of years ago when you know that Jesus has already dealt with it? But it's tough, right? We go on these cycles of Jesus is amazing, Jesus paid for it all, Jesus did so much for me, I'm so thankful, I love him so much. And then you get those days where you're like, Jesus, just don't even look at me right now. I can't even look at you. So please don't look at me. We all get them. We get these ups and downs. Some days we have that carry on. Other days we have the big one. You know, the load changes, but Jesus does not. Okay? Yeah, praise God. Yeah. But also, the simple truth that it's okay to let Jesus take the baggage. And sometimes that can be such a struggle. Again, white-knuckling it as he's trying to take it away from you. God, it's okay. It's safe to let Jesus take that from you. You don't need to cling on to that in fear. Because Jesus loves you. He wants to take that from you. He's already dealt with it. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Yeah. One of my favorite hymns that you guys sing here because it's just so good. It is that constant reminder at Calvary there's liberty. At Calvary, it's all part of God's plan. At Calvary, there was this big, big distance and Jesus filled it. It's done. Yeah. At Calvary, at the cross, there is freedom. It is safe. It is good to let go of these things at the foot of the cross. But man, it is hard, but it's good to. When we live in the love and grace of Christ, Christ who went to the cross at Calvary for our sins, when we focus on that, we can live in the freedom of Christ. The freedom of Jesus Christ. The freedom that the debt has been paid in full. No returns. No bring backs. No receipt. It is done. Okay? The the freedom that the blood of Christ is more than enough. It is done fully. But Jamie, I am too messed up for God to do that for me. Why would he ever do that for me? I'm such a sinner. I'm so bad. Blah, 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 blah. That's what I do every single day. But Jesus, why did you die for me? Because I messed up. And why do you do this for me? Because I messed up. And, you know, you read the Bible, Jesus still fed Judas at the Last Supper. Right? Jesus still chose Peter after he denied Jesus 3 times. These guys messed up. One significantly more than the other. But Jesus still was there. Jesus still was good to them and loved them. We are diminishing the power of the cross when we doubt what Jesus did for us. When I say you can't do it because I'm questioning the power of the cross. I'm questioning the power of God. Oh, you can't, it's just too much. Don't worry about it, God. It's fine. I can handle this. You don't have to worry about it. No. He does worry about it, but it's done. It's done. When we think we are too damaged to accept the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, Jesus is enough. More than enough. Amen. His blood is freeing. Do not, and this is a tough one for me to swallow as well, do not give the baggage the glory that Jesus should be having, should be getting from you. When we hold this higher than what we think the power of the cross is, we're kind of saying, Jesus, well, I'm in the power of my baggage right now, not of you. Do not give your baggage the glory. Give it to God. When we look in the Bible, we can see the original source of baggage. The first instance of physical, emotional, spiritual baggage appears right at the start of the Bible in Genesis 3:7-13. And the eyes of them were both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Nakedness, shame, excuses, baggage. There it is. At this point, Adam and Eve started to pull their baggage. Imagine that, living in complete freedom, walking in the garden with the Lord, looking around and seeing everything is perfect. Oh, this is so amazing. This is so beautiful. This is so great. Oh, and then you sin, and then suddenly it is like, oh, come on now. Okay, that's fine. That's all right. It's not a problem. Come on. Makes things a little bit more challenging, right? Your daily walk starts to become a little bit of a burden, right? Can't really go for a swim with a suitcase in your hand, can you? You know? Hey, that fruit at the top of that tree over there looks pretty good. Let me just climb up. That ain't going to really work. So why do we do it? Why do we weigh ourselves down in our daily lives with baggage? Why do we stop ourselves from moving freely in God's Spirit? Because of this baggage. The weight, the burden on our shoulders. Pulling it behind us, dragging it. Ah, man, we can only do that for so long. We will be worn down. And then you realize that the freedoms that you had I restrict it. Try going on a bike ride with a big suitcase in your hand. These things don't happen as easy, right? So why do we live this way when we have freedom in Jesus Christ? Folks, why do we not embrace the freedom that Jesus has offered to us? Why don't we just embrace it? Why don't we just welcome it into our lives and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, 100 times thank you for taking my baggage so that I can live freely? Why live with the heavy burden of life's baggage? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is huge. If we confess, when we get to that point of saying, man, my arms are burning, this heavy burden has gotten too much, I am done, I am sorry, God. Jesus is faithful. That's what it says. He is faithful. He is just. He is forgiving. He does it. Not just the little things, not just the carry-ons. Not just, I can handle this if my hands are free. No. All of it. All unrighteousness. Not just the little things unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. An all-over wash of Jesus' blood. Cleansing. Freeing. All over. All. Done. Cleansing all the sin, the dirt, the stuff that we couldn't get out in the wash. All of that stuff. Gone. White as snow. Brand new. That is the promise. All unrighteousness. So why do we cling on to it? We should be thankful that Jesus is faithful to do this for us. I'm thankful. I need to be more thankful. God is faithful. And with that in mind, we can look to what it says in the Bible about how we can deal with this baggage with God. With God. Not on our own. Not in human form, but with God. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Fear, it was on our list. When it rules, it is an issue. When I was younger, I got asked to conquer my fears. There's a couple of things that I'm scared of in life, right? Clowns. Scott Walker, you come at me in a clown costume. I don't know what you're... Clowns, crocodiles. Hey, that one's legitimate, right? and I'm basically being in places where I can't see the bottom of, right? It's enough for me to be like, well, those are my three things. I got told to conquer my fears. I got told to go and hold a crocodile. I got told to go to a circus. I got told to jump into a lake where you see not the bottom, right? I tell you, it did not help my fear. Trying to conquer that in human form did not help my fear. Trying to do that in Jamie's strength did not help. Without God, I'm nothing, right? With God, he conquers. Sorry, scared of crocodiles as well. I brought it up, it's bad. I'm sorry. So, but when we focus on that fear too much, we change our focus off of Jesus. Again, it's all about focus. It's all about what we're looking at. Again, it's all about what we're looking at. David sought the Lord and was delivered from all his fears. He came to Jesus and said, help. I'm sorry, I messed up, here it is, take it, I can't. And Jesus said, all good, I'll take it for you, you're free. Again, our faithful and just Lord coming through again. David spoke, God listened, God listens to us. Simple truth, he knows us, he knows our struggles. He listens to us. We need to listen to him. There's only so much that a one-way conversation can do, right? I can keep talking to my wife. Hey, Rachel, but I'm never going to get any extra feedback here unless she starts talking back to me. If we're only telling God how much we need help, how are we listening to God when he says, this is how I'm going to help you? This is what I'm saying. We need to be listening. And when we listen, we get his spirit inside of us. Peace, calm, freedom, a burden lifted. Because of Calvary, because of Jesus on the cross, because of what he promises over and over and over and over again. Freedom. So, we need to take it to the Lord. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Jumped ahead. There you go. Psalm 94, 18 to 19. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, hold me up in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Yes. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's Psalm 55:22. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Christians, we have a God who cares, who walks with us, who calms our hearts, who sustains us. He is merciful and holds us when we cry out to him. He takes our burdens. I will help thee. I will help thee. Not maybe tomorrow, but I will now. Like, I will. That's set. That's massive. We can look at Jesus' life, how he handled people who had baggage, burdens, how he impacted people as well. Matthew 4:19-20, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. This is awesome. You have fishermen in a boat, doing their job, fishing away, maybe cleaning out the nets, getting the fish out, or whatever it is. Jesus comes up to them and says, hey, follow me. Straight away, they followed. They did not run home to pack a bag. They did not run home to grab their things. They did not run home to take their fishing rods in and put it in there. They did not run home to grab their luggage. They left straight away. What does that mean? What does that mean for our lives? What does that mean for us right now? When we don't have physical Jesus coming up to us saying, follow me. What does that mean for us? It still means every single day when Jesus says, follow me, we'll leave that baggage behind and say, I'll follow you straight away. So who here does that every day? Yeah, no, we're human. We're sinful. We make mistakes. But again, God is faithful. God is just. Our God does not give up on us. Every morning, that invitation, follow me, follow me. And straight away, do we drop our baggage and follow him? Something to think about. When Jesus says, follow me, we need to drop it all and just simply follow. When Jesus says, follow me, we leave it all behind and follow him. Baggage not included, right? Leave it all behind and just go. Jesus took the focus off the baggage, off the stuff, off the life of every day, and said, follow me. The fishermen had no other choice. They had come face to face with the living God. Of course they're going to follow him. Of course. No baggage. And just followed. It's incredible. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Think about this. It's a promise. I will give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Fantastic for pest control. No one likes serpents and scorpions. But think about something else, what that could mean otherwise as well. Who comes in serpent form, who comes to hurt, who comes to destroy the enemy. I give you power to tread on them. I'm with you. I'm giving you these things. Don't focus on your baggage. Focus on what I'm giving you instead. Freedom, power, Holy Spirit. Power over all the enemy. Christ is undefeated. Right? The champion of all champions. Jesus has power over everything. The wind, the waves, the world, everything. Simple truth again. Everything. Our baggage can become overwhelming. It can be too much at times. But Jesus has given us the power to not just take off the bag, but to tread on it, to squash it, to be rid of it, to go, here you go, Jesus. Boom, gone. Kick straight to you. Out of the way. If we can't do that, we can give it to Jesus. My thing is, why do we pretend to be so powerful when we know the source of all power, right? Why pretend to be almighty when we know someone who truly is almighty? Why pretend to be God when we know God, right? We have a great comfort in knowing that Jesus is everything that we need. He is the fulfillment of everything. Matthew 11:28-30. You can cut. Actually, you read this already. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says to those who are tired, heavy laden, who work, come to him and find rest. Not just physical rest, your soul. Not just your outward appearance, your inner. It's not always about the outside, it's not about what's inside. How many times have we allowed our souls to rest in Jesus? How different would our life be if we do that every day? If that doesn't answer some of our questions about how we should be living, I don't really know what does. Finding rest in Jesus. If we're tired, come to Jesus. If you work hard, if you work, come to Jesus. If you're heavy laden, carrying burdens, come to Jesus. Hey, everyone, come to Jesus, right? Because we've all been tired. We've all worked hard. We've all been heavily laden with burdens and problems and things like that. We've all been in that spot. Jesus is saying, come to me and find rest. But not just physical rest, not just a good night's sleep, your soul, your inner. Okay, and we can look unto our brothers and sisters of the faith, you guys, how we can look to you guys about those burdens as well. How I can look to you to help me with my burdens, and you can look to me to help you with your burdens. Because that's what it's about, being in a family of Jesus. It's helping each other as well. It's loving each other. It's looking after each other. It's being Jesus to one another as well. In Exodus 17, we have this amazing image of Moses with his arms being held up by Aaron and Hur here. Joshua is fighting a big battle against the Amalekites down below. Moses and his buddies are up high looking over it. When Moses' hands were raised, the battle was being won. We know this story, right? When Moses' arms started to lower, the Amalekites started to gather some gust, starting to fight a little bit harder, starting to win, starting to take back some ground. So what do brothers of the faith do there? I'm going to hold your arms up for you. I am going to stand by you with this burden on your shoulders that you know that you need to have your arms raised high right now to God for this battle to be won. How do I help you? Well, I'm not the one to have my arms raised high. That's not what God's asked me to do. But I hear what God's saying to you, so I will raise your hand for you. So I will hold up your arms for you. So I will be with you physically holding you up, so that this battle is won for the Lord. I don't know about you, but when you hold your arms up for a while, there's a burn. I used to be able to do it for a lot longer. Now it's like 5 minutes. But they're tired. They feel like they're just going to fall off, right? I don't know how long this battle raged on for, but I know that Aaron and Hur were committed to holding up Moses' arms. Who around us needs help? Who around us needs their arms to be lifted? Who around us needs people to come either side of them and just to carry them? Who needs that? Support each other. Love each other. Family. Through Christ, we're family. Isaiah 40:31. That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. One of my favorite verses is, what does that tell you about God? What's he going to do for us? He's going to renew us over and over and over. Renew our strength. Renew our stamina so we do not grow weary. Renew our energy. Renew everything that we need so we do not faint. So it would be like we're flying wings like eagles, soaring. I love it. Eagles are not tied down, right? How much baggage does an eagle have? Yeah? We shall not go weary. We shall run, walk, and not faint. We will not be heavy laden. When we wait upon the Lord, when we give him our baggage, our strength shall be renewed. We will soar like eagles. What a promise. What a promise. Ooh, there you go. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Usually when it says it's the law of Christ, it's pretty serious, right? It's a big deal. It is a law of Christ that we bear each other up, that we take others' burdens and help them, that we do not let someone's burdens become too unbearable without them taking to Jesus, that we point them in the right direction, that if it's a physical lifting up, we go and physically lift them up. If it's a spiritual, then we pray for those people and we commit to praying to them until they turn to Jesus and say, wow, I'm so glad that heavy burden's off my shoulders. If it's a law of Christ, then I think we should be doing it. Kind of simple. But baggage is a tough thing. We all carry different versions of it. And this has been a very brief kind of run through of this idea of baggage. But I would invite you to seek people out who will pray for you. Find people who will lift you up. Find someone in this amazing family here who will stand by you. We're going to do the invitation, if that's okay. But just think about that for a second, that it's not about admitting that we have baggage. I'm not telling you to turn to the person on your left and right and be like, oh, I have dad issues. I'm asking you to ask God to help you identify it. I'm asking you to look inside your heart and see what you're holding back, what you're holding too tightly onto, that Jesus can take away from you. What's on your shoulders right now? What's weighing you down? What's stopping you from living freely? Take it to God. Maybe you can't truly identify the baggage in your heart or in your life. Talk to God. He'll make it clear. Pray for clarity. Maybe you don't want to bring up old pains and hurt. Talk to Jesus. He died on the cross for you. He knows hurt. He knows pain. He knows separation. He knows it. Talk to Jesus. Maybe you don't see a way out of the darkness. It's too much. Look at Christ who conquered sin, Satan, and death. Who died but rose again. That darkness doesn't stand up. Our hope shouldn't be in our own personal strength, but in fact the strength that Jesus Christ is a faithful and just God, one who wants to see us soar like eagles, not weighed down with baggage. Take some time now as we reflect on what we are holding on to as baggage and how our life would be different if we could truly give it all over to Jesus. It is not too much for him to take. Jesus' blood has already covered it. It is done. And we can take comfort in the fact that we are safe in his hands.
Go ahead and sing some verses of Take Time to Be Holy. Feel free to stand if you'd like to do so, or remain seated and praying. God sees the heart, of course. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord.